Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Will.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons and Dragons, from severe singes to sulking servants. And today we're talking about sorcerer subclasses, the Draconic Bloodline, and Clockwork Soul.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Will.
How you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
I did not say cockwork soul like in our outtake.
You sure didn't. Next up, let's talk about the content. Sorcerers. It's been a long time since we talked about them.
Yes. Like, I'd forgotten really almost completely about them.
Yeah. The last time we talked about them would have been the Sorcerers Part 2 episode, where we probably covered, I think, the Divine Soul and whatever else was in Xanathar's Guide. We're not talking about either of those things today.
Whatever that was.
So, sorcerers carry a magical birthright conferred upon them by an exotic bloodline, some otherworldly influence, or exposure to unknown cosmic forces. Mm-hmm. One cannot study sorcery as one learns a language. No one chooses sorcery. The power chooses the sorcerer. Magic is a part of every sorcerer, suffusing body, mind, and spirit with a latent power that waits to be tapped. Some sorcerers wield magic that springs from an ancient bloodline infused with the magic of dragons. Others carry a raw, uncontrollable magic within them, a chaotic storm that manifests in unexpected ways. The appearance of sorcerous powers is wildly unpredictable. Some bloodlines produce exactly one sorcerer in every generation, but in other lines of descent, every individual is a sorcerer. Most of the time, the talents of sorcery appear as apparent flukes. Some sorcerers can't name the origin of their power, while others trace it to strange events in their own lives. The touch of a demon, the blessing of a dryad at a baby's birth, or a taste of the water from a mysterious spring might spark the gift of sorcery. So too might the gift of a deity of magic, exposure to the elemental forces of the inner planes, or the maddening chaos of limbo, or a glimpse into the inner workings of reality.
So essentially your magic comes from somewhere.
Basically you got infected by magic.
Yeah, that's...
And now...
It lives in you.
It lives in you.
The wand and chooses the wizard, Harry. That's
it's like a not it's, like yeah. That. It's like you got a symbiotic parasite within you.
Yeah, yeah. It's giving you
magic powers.
You know how being alive, you have like the inherent powers of like pumping blood and stuff, and sure. Like being able to move your muscles.
Yes,
it's like that.
It's like that.
But
new
instead,
muscles.
Fire comes out of your hands.
Exactly. Mm. So today we're covering the Draconic Bloodline from the Player's Handbook and a newer subclass, the Clockwork Soul, from Tasha's Cauldron of Everything.
Of all
and,
the stuff.
We're starting with the old and moving on to the new. So let's start with the Draconic Bloodline. Before we do, what do you know about the Draconic Sorcerer? Like, do you know anything?
Mom/dad just fucked a dragon. Had a baby.
I mean, that's possible. But that would probably make you a half-dragon.
Okay. A half-dragon is different from a dragonborn.
Yes.
A half-dragon makes you unique how?
There is a creature in the Monster Manual, the half-dragon.
It's oh,
very,
okay.
Very powerful.
Okay.
But it's, I think, set up as a template that you slap on a different human. So, like, you know, in the back of the Monster
Manual.
Half
your face like human and the other half your face is like a fucking muzzle.
You look dragonborn-esque except for, like, you look like your head is, like, let's say you are a blue dragon, half-dragonborn. Like, you have, like, a blue dragon head on a humanoid body and you're covered in scales and you have a wicked badass breath attack that's way stronger than Dragonborn. But essentially, it's a template that gets slapped onto an NPC stat block at the back of the book. So let's say you have a smuggler from the back of the book who is also a half-dragon. You would put the templates together and bam, you have your half-dragon smuggler.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you don't really get like... You get powers, but like...
Yeah, you get like a breath attack, a bunch of stuff. It's very, very strong.
Okay, then my guess would be like, does the dragon gift someone the power... of like they have magic within them, right?
Yes, it's so
patron like.
Yeah. So with this one, your magic comes from draconic magic that was mingled with your blood or that of your ancestors. Most often, sorcerers with this origin trace their descent back to a mighty sorcerer of ancient times who made a bargain with a dragon, or who might have even claimed a dragon parent. Some of these bloodlines are well established in the world, but most are obscure. Any given sorcerer could be the first of a new bloodline as a result of a pact or some other exceptional circumstance. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, there's some wiggle room here is what I'm getting.
Exactly. Like, it could be a pact. It could be a deal. It could be like, what's the fucking dragon heart, where the dragon gives his heart so he doesn't die or whatever.
You're talking about the ones that are the dragon riders or whatever.
Yeah, it was a movie that came out in the 90s. It was kind of trash, but I liked it.
We're talking about different things. Okay. The thing I'm talking about is like a youth novel, you know, like a young adult novel series. You're
doing Aragon?
Aragon.
Oh, no, I'm talking about Dragonheart from the 90s.
No, I know what you're talking about. This is a Dragonheart. Don't eat my heart.
Yeah. Or whatever. But maybe there was a dying dragon who was like, here, partake of my heart and gain some of my power. And now your progeny will now be dragon sorcerers.
I can't die like this. Eat my heart.
Yeah, sure, that.
I was thinking of like... Bilbo Baggins, he infiltrates the Horde and almost gets vaporized or whatever.
Sure.
And then what if that went a little different and like you're not Bilbo Baggins and you just get into that dragon horde and it never lets you leave until you guys get to know each other. And then just being around, but I'm picturing a scenario where you're
just in close proximity
to a dragon for so long that you inherit some of its magic.
Okay.
Especially in its horde, you know, like its lair.
I feel like the way this would work, similar to your idea, is let's say you got an ancient dragon who lives in a mountain. We're going blue because you know how I feel about blue dragons. Ancient blue dragon lives in a mountain.
Children.
And there is a village or town that lives at the foot of this mountain. And for generations, they are protected by the blue dragon so long as they kind of like serve him and whatnot, yada, yada, yada. Ancient dragons have powerful magic. It permeates the entire region. Slowly but surely, over time, draconic sorcerers are getting born out of this town because of the proximity of generations.
Yeah, you got where I'm at. Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the draconic bloodline.
Let's do it.
So, we talked about how a draconic bloodline sorcerer might get its powers, but let's talk about the powers a draconic bloodline sorcerer does get. At level 1, you get a feature called Dragon Ancestor. At first level, you choose one type of dragon as your ancestor. The damage type associated with each dragon is used by features you gain later. You can speak, read, and write draconic. Additionally, whenever you make a charisma check when interacting with dragons, your proficiency bonus is doubled if it applies to the check.
Ooh, okay, nice.
You also get a feature called Draconic Resilience. As magic flows through your body, it causes your physical traits of your dragon ancestors to emerge. At first level, your hit point maximum increases by 1 and increases by 1 again whenever you gain a level in this class. This essentially turns your D6 HP to a D8 HP is what it does.
That's handy.
Which is nice.
It's going to matter.
Additionally, parts of your skin are covered by a thin sheen of dragon-like scales. When you aren't wearing armor, your AC equals 13 plus your dexterity modifier.
There's a thin Charlie Sheen spread about your outsides. Right.
Have you ever seen Fairy Tail, the anime?
No.
Okay, well, in Fairy Tail, it's like there's a bunch of wizards with all kinds of different kinds of magic, and like they're all in different guilds. Anyways, the main character, Natsu, he is a dragon slayer mage or whatever. He uses dragon magic taught to him by a dragon that he knew in his past or whatever. But when he starts really tapping into the power, he gets like this thin sheen of scales all over him.
Yeah.
It becomes almost like an armor.
I kind of pictured that when you were talking about the half dragon, like,
yeah,
you know, patchiness.
Oh, no. The half dragon looks way super scaly.
I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah, look up half dragon. At level 6, you get a feature called Elemental Affinity. When you cast a spell that deals damage of the type associated with your draconic ancestry, you can add your charisma modifier to one damage roll of that spell. At the same time, you can spend one sorcery point to gain resistance to that damage type for an hour.
Okay.
So this is definitely
pretty cool, actually.
A very blasty type wizard. What I like about the draconic bloodline sorcerer is it reminds me of the sorcerer or any caster from 4th edition, where you could really focus in on a single damage type
and
boost that damage type with feats and features and all that other stuff.
Yeah, okay.
You get a taste of that with this.
And specialize in fire, ice, or whatever.
Or whatever
lightning.
It is you want. Yeah. At level 14, you get dragon wings. You gain the ability to spread a pair of dragon wings from your back, gaining a flying speed equal to your current speed.
Level 14, man. That's a level 20 paladin ability.
You can create these wings as a bonus action on your turn. They last until you dismiss them as a bonus action on your turn. You can't manifest your wings while wearing armor unless the armor is made to accommodate them. And clothing not made to accommodate your wings might be destroyed when you manifest them.
Okay, cool. Which makes just fucking sense. Blow your armor off your back. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, what's great about this is as a sorcerer, you are a ranged person. And if you're flying, it's, you know, that's awesome. That's an almost awesome combination.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter how much HP you have if you fall from like 90 feet or whatever.
Yeah,
you're going to fucking die.
That's very true. Finally, at level 18, you get Draconic Presence. You can channel the dread presence of your dragon ancestor, causing those around you to become awestruck or frightened. As an action, you can spend 5 sorcery points to draw on this power and exude an aura of awe or fear, your choice, to a distance of 60 feet. For 1 minute, or until you lose your concentration, each hostile creature that starts its turn in this aura must succeed on a wisdom saving throw or be charmed if you chose awe or frightened if you chose fear until the aura ends. Creature that succeeds the saving throw is immune to your aura for 24 hours. Now, this is a cool power, but like at level 18, it's not the most powerful thing ever.
No, fuck that. I mean, you can there's a, other we just ways covered to get, a class 2 weeks ago that gets it at level 0.
Yeah, exactly. A race, but yeah.
Not as cool. Like awe and fear, that's fun.
The awe thing's cool because I can't think off the top of my head another like aura that you have going on that's a charm aura. Right. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, don't go walking into Elf Town trying to awe them. They're not going to buy it.
No, definitely not.
That's a joke about elves.
Yes, I know.
Okay.
anything about the Draconic Bloodline sorcerer that you want to know?
Absolutely not. Well, I mean, I probably if I sat and thought about
they're
it, sure.
They're pretty straightforward.
But I want to know. Will, did you build a character?
I did build a character. I built the Draconic Sorcerer this week.
Tell me.
And
tell me of its powers.
I didn't go level 10 just because I never like going level 10. It's so high. Like, I don't know. I like leaving a little wiggle room for some development.
Okay.
So I built a level 8 Draconic Sorcerer, and he is a turtle. And because of this, I decided that his Draconic ancestor was a dragon turtle.
Nice. That's pretty fucking sweet.
Yeah. And dragon turtles do have a breath attack. It's a steam breath attack, which technically does fire damage. But I didn't want to lean into the fire damage with this guy. I wanted to lean into the whole water thing. So I've picked a whole bunch of water spells. But as a turtle, see, I didn't do this on purpose, but ends up turtles are fucking amazing casters. And
oh, yeah. Don't they have super high? Well, this is a charisma caster, right?
So this is a charisma caster. But I think I did do the optional thing where you can kind of choose your...
like the new Tasha's ability?
Yeah, where you can choose your
I thought they got
stuff.
A wisdom boost.
They get a strength and a wisdom boost, I believe, yeah. But this one, I'm trying... God, I do not like this builder. I do not like this builder at all.
We can complain about D&D Beyond all we want on the show. They're never going to change... Well, they might change it. I don't know.
I should have just printed it out.
You usually do.
Yeah, I do usually. I want to pull up the racial stuff first and foremost, so... We can see what he gets for being a turtle. Features and traits. Here we go. A lot of class stuff. A lot of class stuff.
No, you have to go to your ability scores. It'll tell you everything below.
So as a turtle, he gets claws. So he has a natural weapon of claws. Those don't really matter. Hold breath. He can hold his breath up to 1 hour at a time. Mm-hmm. Natural armor. Your shell gives you a base AC of 17.
Yes.
Your dex modifier does not apply, but who cares? He doesn't have that.
That's one of the reasons this guy's a great... Caster,
exactly.
Because he's going to have a naturally high AC.
Yeah. Okay. You can use a shield and apply its bonus as normal. He's not going to have one. Shell defense as an action. You can withdraw within your shell to gain a +4 to AC and advantage on strength and constitution saving throws. While in your shell, you are prone. Your speed is 0. You have disadvantage on dex saving throws and you can't take reactions. You can emerge from your shell as a bonus action. He's also trained in survival. So my turtle sorcerer, his name's Old Teotihuel, and he's very old.
He's so old that they added his name. To his name.
Yeah.
Right? Because he wasn't born and they were like, you are old Teotihuel.
No. He was once young Teotihuel. Now he's old Teotihuel.
What up, youngin?
And he's a hermit. He lives, I feel like he lives in a, like a Guam type island, like a tropical island type setting.
This guy's in like a cabana hut or whatever.
Yeah, doing his thing or whatever, reading the stars. And like as a hermit, he gets to have like a discovery. And so I have him as like, he's been reading the stars and he's at some point he realizes like some great conjunction's about to happen and it's going to usher in a new era of yada yada. So this old ass turtle decides to venture out in the world to try and find the adventurers who are going to like handle the situation so he can give them some guidance.
Hell yeah, okay. And so you built an NPC.
Kind of, like, he's a playable character, but he's
a DMPC.
He's kind of like a Gandalf-y character.
Yeah.
I would definitely want to play him as a player. Okay. Not as a DM. But his personality trait is like, he's just kind of old and kooky, not all the way there. He's kind of like Fizban the Fabulous from Dragonlance, where he's just like, he seems like he doesn't know what he's doing, but he actually really knows what he's doing.
Why do I feel so confident about what I know about Fizban?
I've talked to him about him before.
I know. We've talked about him a lot, and he's Dragonlance, right?
Yeah, so he's like, Dragonlance,
But I just felt like more confident than I should, that I like, oh yeah, Fizban, my boy. Oh, my boy. No, Fizban. Not really. I've only ever heard Will talk about him.
Once.
But...
So I like this idea of like he's kind of just like this hapless, goofy, kooky kind of guy. But when the chips are down, like he's slinging them spells and suddenly you're like, holy shit, this dude's powerful.
So a lot of Master Roshi here.
A lot of Master Roshi here. Yeah. I want to go over some of the spells I chose for him.
It's literally a turtle.
Cantrips. Prestidigitation, Shape Water, Shocking Grasp, and Thunderclap. I'm going with a whole ocean storm. I'm going with a dragon turtle theme.
Yeah, so yeah. I like it a lot. Shape Water is a cool spell.
Fog Cloud and Shield at level 1, Gust of Wind, Warding Wind, Lightning Bolt, Tidal Wave, of course.
That's fun.
Wall of Water.
That's a good-ass spell,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, it's a good spell.
That's a Xanathar spell, isn't it?
I think it was. Maybe. I'm not sure. Let me see here.
Some Xanathar spells. I think it says on there.
Watery Sphere. I don't even remember what that does. I'm going to click Cast.
I can guess.
Oh, I clicked Cast and nothing happened. Character builder sucks. This guy's trained in Arcana, Medicine, Persuasion, because he's a nice guy, Religion, and Survival. He can speak Aquin, Common, Draconic, and Giant. He's got a Herbalism kit. That 70 armor is just so fucking good.
That's beef, man.
Yeah.
What's your con?
Constitution is 14. I could.
That's not bad. This is a tanky little sorcerer.
Yeah, he's 58 HP.
Oh, yeah, you're level 8. Okay.
Yeah, I'm level 8. I could have boosted his constitution more now that I think about it, because that dex doesn't matter for shit.
No.
His armor. And because he's so old, I kind of want to give him a low dex. So let's just pretend that's a 12 dex and a 16 constitution.
Sure.
13 wisdom, 18
really
charisma.
Really cover some of your weaknesses there.
Absolutely. Let me see if he's got any particular
actions.
So
you're lower on the charisma.
Oh, yeah, I gave him some equipment here. Because... So he's a hermit. He's level 8. He has adventured, right? And so he probably has one last heirloom from his old adventuring days. So I gave him a robe of, what was it called again? I got to bring this up. A robe of useful items.
A robe of, is this like a bag, but in robe form?
Yeah, I guess
okay.
So. Robe of useful items.
Many pockets.
That
many
he wears.
Things inside them.
This robe has two of each of the following patches. Dagger, bullseye lantern, steel mirror, 10-foot pole, hempen robe, and sack. Oh, well, let me read the description.
This is a fucking, like, Inspector Gadget coat full of...
This robe has cloth patches of various shapes and colors covering it. While wearing the robe, you can use an action to detach one of the patches, causing it to become the object or creature it represents. Once the last patch is removed, the robe becomes an ordinary garment. So it's temporary.
Okay.
But it's got dagger, bullseye lantern, steel mirror, 10-foot pole, hempen rope sack. In addition, the robe has 4d4 other patches. The DM chooses the patches or determines them randomly, and you can roll a d100. A bag of 100 gold pieces, a silver coffer, 10 gems worth 100 gold pieces, a wooden ladder, a riding horse with saddlebags, a pit, however that works, a pit, 4 potions of healings, a rowboat, spell scroll containing one spell of first to third level, 2 mastiffs, the dog, mastiffs, a window, or a portable ram. Now, these are like you roll for what? You know what? You got a d4 around here?
Nope.
Shit.
I have like an app.
Let me pull it up. There's a d4 on the character builder. I'm going to use it right now.
Yeah.
We're rolling 4d4.
Four of them? I got a 2, a 4.
Hold on. No, I'm rolling.
A 4.
You stop.
And a 2.
What are you doing?
I got 2, 4, 4, 2. I just told you I was going to beat you to it.
No, so a 5. I get 5 of these items. Now I got a roll of D100 5 times.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to do this one at a time. So, Teotihuacan has, let's see, 76, which is...
This item is wild.
He's got a spell scroll of first to third level.
Okay.
And then he is going to have a... Oh, man, I can't read that. Oh, this character builder is horrible. 44... Which is a wooden ladder. Sorry, we're going to do this three more times. So this is fun. I like rolling dice.
Our Beholder episode just came out as we're recording this, so I'll just read the comments. So we're
82, which means I get another spell scroll. That's a little boring, but two spell scrolls is handy.
And you're a sorcerer. And I am like a sorcerer. One of the complaints about sorcerer is the limit of spells available to you. So that's cool.
32 gives me another wooden ladder. I got two wooden ladders and two spell scrolls.
Fuck. Okay. What's this guy up to? He needs his ladders.
Well, he's old. He's got to get. And how he's short. He's old house. And he's short his and he's heavy. His house
is built above the shore. Okay. Like last, the shoreline comes up.
Last patch on this robe. It's a 79.
Damn it.
Which is another spell scroll. God damn. I wanted a mastiff or a riding horse or a pit. Anyways.
Get wrecked, Will.
All right, whatever. He's got a robe with a bunch of like useful items all over it.
Sure.
And is there anything else about this guy? I did think about the idea of like he's going out into the world to find his grandson who never came home. Went out to adventure and never came home.
God damn millennials never coming home.
And then I think for sorcery stuff, I just gave him like,
does he talk like what's his name from Kung Fu Panda?
No. I like that turtle, but no.
It doesn't sound like that.
What are the names? The meta magic, I think I gave him twinned and empowered spell because I wanted him to be like,
oh yeah,
I'm old and weak and silly, but I'll blow you the fuck up.
Well, like, that's the thing is like, if you're not using like, those are. The twinned one is like the best one probably in my IMO.
Sure.
But if you're not using that, like what you're kind of gimping yourself a little bit.
That's true. So, I didn't think about it like that. I just like the idea of this old man like really lighting shit up.
Well, yeah, you're a sorcerer, right? So like that's the idea is like you're gonna really fuck it up at least one to two turns.
Yeah. But lots of wind and water magic. And that's old Teotihuacan. That's, cool. That's all that needs to be known about him. Any questions?
No, but I really like where you went with it because I went like the other side of the spectrum here with like fire stuff. It's going to be really cool.
So water and fire.
We're both on the explosions like mindset. The sorcerer thing.
Just
we're,
a different
we're
way
glass
of
cannons,
it.
But you've removed the glass from your sorcerer, it seems.
Oh yeah, definitely. That 17 AC was, that was an accident. I didn't mean to. I was just like,
I haven't done a turtle.
I wanted to do a turtle. And then I was like, well, what dragon ancestry could he have? Oh, a dragon turtle. That's perfect.
So, yeah. How old is your turtle exactly?
I don't know how old turtles get, but in human terms, he's somewhere in his low 70s.
I think you can get up into like the hundreds with a turtle. Okay. The 100 mark.
Okay. Then he's like 84.
Yeah.
He's up there. This is it. This is his last journey. He's probably not coming home.
And don't quote me on my turtle lore.
Anyways, let's take a short rest.
Yeah. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms, to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast. Hey folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible.
Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know the monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com.
Hey everybody, be sure to check out Super Quest Saga,
a future fantasy 5th edition D&D actual play podcast homebrewed and dungeon mastered by yours truly, me, and set in space.
And I play in it, along with your special guest Jake and friend of the show, Josh Freeland.
You can find it on YouTube, iTunes, or anywhere else you can get your podcasts.
Super Quest Saga!
We've returned.
Indeed we have.
We're fucking back.
Indeed we are. And we're here to talk about the Clockwork Soul Sorcerer, which, when I first read the title of, I was like, that's an interesting place to take the sorcerer. Clockwork and soul, you don't really think of those two things kind of like, you think one is like it being machinery and the other thing being spiritual and those things not being compatible, but here we are.
I see what you mean when you say that, yeah.
So you built the Clockwork Soul Sorcerer today, which we will talk about, but first let's go over the actual features. This is, as far as I'm concerned, a brand new subclass. I don't know if it was ever featured in a UA. I don't pay attention to Unearthed Arcanas.
We don't talk about UA here.
Yeah, and I don't pay attention to them in my personal life either, so this is new to me. Anyways, let's get into it.
As far as I know, have there been new UAs since Tasha's? I'm sure there have. There must have been.
I have no idea. I don't care.
Yeah, we don't talk about that here. Yeah. Anyway, let's not talk about it. Let's continue not talk about it.
As a Clockwork Soul Sorcerer, the cosmic force of order has suffused you with magic. That power arises from Mechanus or realm like it, a plane of existence shaped entirely by clockwork efficiency. Mm-hmm. You or someone from your lineage might have become entangled in the machinations of the Modrons, the orderly beings who inhabit Mechanus. Perhaps your ancestor even took great part in the Great Modron March. Whatever its origin within you, the power of order can seem strange to others, but for you, it is a part of a vast and glorious system. So to me, this is almost like the law sorcerer.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Or neutral sorcerer.
Yeah, sure.
Right? Like the neutrality thing?
It's more about the law.
I think I'm mixing that up because I built a Warforged character and they're like neutral. So
sure. I mean, it works.
I'm getting my lore.
All right. Up. So at first level, you get a feature called Clockwork Magic. You learn additional spells when you reach certain levels in this class, as shown on the Clockwork Spells table. Mm-hmm. Each of these spells counts as a sorcerer spell for you, but it doesn't count against the number of sorcerer spells you know. It's whenever handy. You gain a sorcerer level, you can replace one spell you gain from this feature with another spell of the same level. The new spell must be an abjuration or transmutation spell from the sorcerer, warlock, or wizard spell list. Alarm, protection from good and evil, aid, lesser restoration, dispel magic, protection from energy, freedom of movement, summon construct, greater restoration, and wall force are all spells on this list.
So I am happy I went to level 10 because I do get the summon construct, which is like a cool,
it's really dope,
a cool That's spell awesome. For sure.
This game always needed more summoning, and that's been getting delivered over the last couple like installations.
Yeah, the artificer does that kind of thing, right? There's like a one where you have a golem with you all the time.
Oh yeah, you have the iron.
It's not like summoning, but defender. You know, yeah. Essentially.
No, I just remember in Mordenkainen's kind of ends, you could finally like summon fiends and stuff.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah.
In addition, consult the manifestations of order table and choose or randomly determine a way your connection to order manifests while you are casting any of your sorcerer spells. These are physical manifestations such as spectral cogwheels hovering behind you, the hands of a clock spinning in your eyes, your skin glows with a brassy sheen, or floating equations of geometric objects overlay your body.
I fucking laughed my ass off when I read that. That's amazing. It's hilarious, but it reminded me of that fucking meme.
Yeah, I know. I know the one.
It's like, yeah. Oh man, this is like the opposite. The opposite feeling the meme gives you, which is like a confident version of doing the game. Like all the calculations are correct.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. Restore balance. You also get a first level. Your connection to the plane of absolute order allows you to equalize chaotic moments. When a creature you can see within 60 feet of you is about to roll a d20 with advantage or disadvantage, you can use a reaction to prevent the roll from being affected by advantage and disadvantage. You can use this feature a number of times equal to your proficiency bonus, and you regain all expended uses when you finish a long rest. I love this power.
This is great. This is
fucking cool.
Yeah, especially with them tying stuff to proficiency. This makes a lot of sense to me to scale it as you get more powerful.
Yeah.
Really, really cool ability.
Super, super fun.
I was very hyped
and
when
not
I read
something
that.
You would think about getting as a spellcaster normally.
No. Like
especially sorcerer.
More bard. Like, I guess.
Or like, cleric-like. Yeah, like when support. You're thinking about fate and stuff like that. Yeah. Or divine intervention. Like, this is like, this isn't either of those, though. It's like the countering of statistics. It's like, statistically, the average should happen. So the fact that this is so extreme upsets the order. So let me reorganize
I can manipulate that to be the average.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. It's
very interesting.
It kind of, I went with, and we'll get into it later, but like manipulating the fabric of reality is something that is kind of around here.
Mm-hmm.
And for something that like just seems so basic, like clockwork and stuff, mechanics and like being able to like kind of bend reality, you know, with your magic and this, it's really, really cool feature.
Yeah, it's a cool concept.
Fucking fun.
So at level 6, you get a feature called Bastion of Law. You can tap into the grand equation of existence to imbue a creature with a shimmering shield of order. As an action, you can expend 1 to 5 sorcery points to create a magical ward around yourself or another creature you can see within 30 feet of you. The ward lasts until you finish a long rest or until you use this feature again. The ward is represented by a number of d8s equal to the number of sorcery points spent to create it. When the warded creature takes damage, it can expend a number of those dice, roll them, and reduce the damage taken by a total rolled on those dice. I love everything about this.
Yeah.
Like, number one, you're taking a class that is normally about spell slinging it and turning it into like a support defense kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the number one. Number two is you're taking this subclass, which is supposed to be about like numbers and equations and all this stuff, and you're doing like a whole like dice math thing to do a really cool neat feature of protection. I love it.
So yeah. It
reminds me of Dicey Dungeons. Have you played that game?
No, I haven't.
It's on the Switch.
I've heard it's really good.
It's really good. This reminds me, this is a thing you would get in Dicey Dungeons.
That's cool. Yeah. That's really cool. This kind of makes me, I mean, the Blade Singer gets I think it's level 10 where you use spell slots to like you multiply the spell slot used by 5 to mitigate damage as it comes in. This is just so much better. I mean, you're using your sorcery points to do it instead of a spell slot. I mean, you get...
Which are valuable.
Yeah. I mean, they're valuable, but they're for things like this, which I think is a really good use of them.
Right.
Depending on the situation, this is going to be something I use. D8, not too bad. Not too bad.
Yeah. No, it's fun. At level 14, you get a feature called Trance of Order. You gain the ability to align your consciousness to the endless calculations of Mechanus. As a bonus action, you can enter the state for 1 minute. For the duration, attack rolls against you can't benefit from advantage, and whenever you make an attack roll, an ability check, or a saving throw, you can treat a roll of 9 or lower on the d20 as a 10. Once you use this bonus action, you can't use it again until you finish a long rest, unless you spend 5 sorcery points and use it again. This is essentially seeing the code in the Matrix.
Yeah, this is really cool.
Like, you can see the turning of the mechanisms of reality, and so you can almost
do something about
it. You can almost see the future in a way.
Yeah, like the probability of what happens next
exactly.
is laid out before me. There's some bard shit here that I'm getting, like, the endless calculations of Mechanus, right? Like this overarching, as if all these gears or calculations or math was the behind everything, the way like a bard's magic is drawn upon, like the song of creation, echoes of creation, like being something you access to manipulate the world.
Right.
Isn't this also like a rogue thing where not rolling less than a 10 on something is like a feature you get?
I think
rogues get one late level.
When it comes to their skill.
Yeah.
Yeah, when it comes to their skill checks.
Right. That's kind of cool, mashing the features up like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Finally, at level 18, you get the feature called Clockwork Cavalcade. You summon spirits of order to expunge disorder around you. As an action, you summon the spirits in a 30-foot cube originating from you. The spirits look like Modrons or other constructs of your choice. The spirits are intangible and invulnerable, and they create the following effects within the cube before vanishing. Excuse me. 1. The spirits restore up to 100 hit points divided as you choose among any number of creatures of your choice in the cube. 2. Any damaged objects entirely in the cube are repaired instantly. 3. Every spell of 6th level or lower ends on creatures or objects of your choice in the cube. Once you use this action, you can't use it again until you finish long rest, unless you spend 7 sorcery points to use it again.
This is cool.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't look at the abilities, like above the level I built, like 14th and 18th level stuff. These are fucking chill.
Yeah, again, very supportive, very... I mean, this one straight up heals, repairs, and prevents.
Right, and the flavor here is excellent.
Yeah.
It's really, really good.
Yeah. A very interesting take on a class that truly kind of introduces a new flavor. I love it. I think it's great. I don't know if I would ever run one, but having one in the party would be a lot of fun.
Maybe I can convince you with the character I built.
All right, yeah.
Because you, now I want to run one. I want this guy to exist in some D&D verse that I'm a part of.
All right.
But so I built a level 10 Warforged Clockwork Soul Sorcerer.
It makes a lot of sense, Warforged.
And his name is C4PO.
Oh my God.
This is going to blow some shit up.
Oh my God. So stupid.
There's a lot of layers here.
That's really good. I like that.
He named C-3PO. I had to look that up, and this names him like the third member of Anakin's family, protocol droid.
Okay. That's pretty cool. Okay.
Cybernetic protocol.
Yeah.
So this guy does not follow that naming.
No.
I wound up with a flat 10 in strength, plus 2 to my dex, so 15. 14 con, 13 intelligence, 8 in the wisdom, and 16 charisma. So basically, this Warforged character, let's talk about the backstory a little bit. I was struggling with it, but I knew it would have to be Mechanus related, I thought. And since it was a Warforged, it would be a good idea. Like maybe these were spare parts that didn't fit into the order or their collective.
Ooh.
And was picked up by the Gith and dropped off in the material plane. Where I ended up sort of.
So it's not really a Warforged so much as he's basically like an Abomination Modron.
Sort of, yeah. More Warforged looking. I kind of was picturing Sunny from iRobot, the kind of look of him, kind of slender and sleek.
Sure,
Those these moldings around him to kind of make the features look a little more human.
Right.
Than a Warforged, which looks a lot more like C-3PO-esque. Mm-hmm. So I went with something more sleek and slender like that. Somebody that doesn't know why they exist or why they're here, but their body adapts to do things to suit the situation.
Okay.
Which would explain like the meta magic and like these abilities of the clockwork. So
that's really cool.
The machinery within these gears or whatever are going to manipulate, and basically he doesn't like learn new spells like a wizard would, right? He would intuit new spells based off of the need of his environment.
Makes a lot
and
of
so
sense.
His body composition would change to adapt to that. So if he's going to cast Burning Hands, which is like a big spell I want to do all the time, he's going to make like his hands are going to like, I either picture it like the gears are whirring so hardcore in his hands that it produces heat that comes out.
Wow, yeah.
Or he just like, you know, a fucking pipe comes out and he shoots some fucking fire, you know?
I like both.
But essentially like that's the idea here. Let me scroll through here.
So in a way it's kind of like artificer, like where their spells are them like coming up with a device that does the thing. It's like this dude's body's adapting to do the thing that needs to be done.
Yeah. Like an artificer would make something. This character, like biologically, the thing happens. Biologically, is a quote unquote.
Yeah.
I ended up with proficiency in Arcana, Deception, Insight, Perception, and Persuasion. And I really want to lean into this robot doing like a protocol droid type thing.
Oh, okay.
Like to convince people to help him maintain order.
He's very
probably.
Communicative.
Yeah. Like lean into the language thing. Like I'm. Fucking comprehend 6 million forms of communication.
Yeah, sure.
But like, I just get people is more of the translation here, and can do things to persuade, not manipulate necessarily.
Yeah,
I picture this character as like a good character.
Yeah.
Let me see. I didn't have. Any,
I see.
Like,
you gave this character a feat.
Yes, and the feat is important. And I'm trying to kind of like, I'm on the mobile version. I'm trying to like get around to that. I can go over the spells first, though. I kept all of the spells that the table gave me. I didn't want to mess around too much with like each level, trying to swap one out. It's not that deep.
Right.
The main ones I want to touch on, I'll just go through the cantrips. Dancing Lights is cool. Firebolt, Mage Hand, Mending, Message, and Mind Sliver. I kind of want to lean into the more psychic ability of like,
that's cool.
Tapping into this equation to fuck with people's brains also.
Yeah.
So all the psychic stuff is going to be flavored. Mm-hmm. Like I tapped into the Matrix, basically, is like how you were saying is a good way to put it.
Yeah.
I kept Alarm, Burning Hands, Catapult, which I thought was cool. Like that dude would carry around a bag of ball bearings that were, you can launch stuff that's like 5 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, like, at the start of combat, he might, like, let some rocks fall on the ground and just start launching them at people at the early levels.
Yeah.
Detect magic, protection from evil and good. Aid, alarm, burning hands. Oh, I'm reading those again. Sorry. Crown of Madness. I took that.
Nice.
Dragon's Breath. You can give people, like, Dragon Breath to do.
I thought about giving Teotihuel that.
Yeah, that's a cool one, right? Because you can do meta magic stuff to manipulate, like...
Like, give himself steam breath.
Right. And then... Some meta magic allows you to protect your homies if they're in the fray from stuff like that, or like do better on checks. Misty Step, something you get. My Misty Step is going to be like kind of, you know, in Breath of the Wild, you turn into like blue spaghetti or whatever.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
But your data.
Yeah,
like,
your data. Like,
so I'll turn into like little gears cool. and like reform in another area. Because I think you get to pick those aesthetic things like you were talking about, right? Like definitely the gears floating behind me when I do magic and like.
Of
ticking.
As a dungeon master, you always get to pick the aesthetics of your spells and shit.
Yeah, this one says like roll the d8 to do like just pick two. Yeah. Like I want the clicking and the thing. I took Melf's minute meteors.
Ooh, what's that?
You get like these hovering orbs that you get to just like launch at people on bonus actions and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be like a upgraded like fiery attack. I didn't take like fireball or anything like that.
Okay.
Hypnotic pattern, tongues. I thought that would be cool. The 6 million forms of communication thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I like
somebody brought up tongues recently in one of our comment sections. So I was like, oh yeah, that would be cool one to take on my next character. Confusion, which Special Guest Jake cast that in Super Quest Saga. That was really cool.
Yes.
Affecting people. I thought about taking slow. I ran out of spells. I was like, oh, shit, I really am limited on how many I can pick. Freedom of movement. You get, like, lesser restoration, like we were talking about those. Summon construct is really cool. I want my summon construct, this is important, to look like, and I was looking up a bunch of Doctor Who stuff, look like the clock droids or whatever they're called. They wear, like, the old Victorian clothes because that's the setting that he travels to, like, kidnap a girl. Spoilers for the random two episodes of Doctor Who with David Tennant that this happens in. I'm, like, 10 years old now. They look like Victorian dress with like the bust, like the little frills coming out. They just have like an android face, like almost like a vaudevillian face. What are they called? Guy Fawkes?
Yeah.
A Guy Fawkes face almost.
Oh, that's pretty cool. So
you could look it up if you want. But, and he's just going to do slam attacks basically, just put him out. I think you pick like clay, rock or steel.
Oh, okay.
And they do different things.
That's pretty cool.
I surely went with the steel one.
Yeah.
Well,
why wouldn't you have?
Well, they do. You get different ability, but the steel one in this case, it matched up nicely. I think you just do slam attacks and like get something else. Immolation, because I'm going up to fifth level, get like Wall of Force. I'm hoping I can do cool stuff with the meta magic here. Now, here are my feats, my features and traits, right? So let me find my feats. Because instead of ability scores, I think I took two feats. So I got, I picked distant spell. When you cast a spell that has a range of 5 feet or greater, you can spend one sorcery point to double the range. Twin spell, which everybody, you just double it up. Seeking spell.
Oh, these are your meta magic choices. Because
I think I ended up with like five of them or some shit.
Yeah, I see. Well, one of the feats you chose here was meta magic adept, which gave you more.
Yes.
Yeah, which is cool.
So if I make an attack roll, this is seeking spell. If I make an attack roll for a spell and miss, I can spend two sorcery points to reroll the d20. I have to use the new roll, which if I missed, who gives a shit? You can use the seeking spell even if you've already used different meta magic options. I thought that was really cool. Just give. It sucks when you burn a spell slot and it's just nothing fucking happens.
Yeah, it's the worst feeling for sure.
So you can do something about that here, which is cool. It kind of plays into like changing fate, re-rolling stuff.
Yeah, and like you said, it kind of explains the whole meta magic thing. Like you are sculpting reality.
Yes. Because I'm a... I'm a Warforged, technically. I have all this, like, resistance to poison, shit like that. I'm not going to go too deep into that. I took Fae Touched as well as a feat, my second feat. That's where I learned Misty Step, Detect Magic.
Oh. How do you explain the Fae Touch thing?
So I kind of wanted him to, maybe he got dropped off, but basically, like, has some Fae influence on him.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Warforged are, like, kind of a blank slate for... The people they're around, they kind of take on personalities and ideals and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Thought maybe that might be a cool flavor. And it gave me some extra stuff I wanted to do. Oh, here from the adept thing, I got careful spell. So I spend one sorcery point to allow up to three creatures automatically succeed the saving throw of a spell I cast. So if I do big area of effect stuff for saves, I can protect my friends. Extended spell, when you cast a spell that has a duration of 1 minute or longer, you can spend one sorcery point to double its duration to maximize for 24 hours. Mm. So I get to do... this guy has a lot of utility, and if I really took a deep look at the spell list and kind of tweaked it to match the meta magic, I could do some bonkers shit.
That's I really like your character. I think the only thing I don't care for the character is the name, which is just it's a funny
name.
Well,
I knew I was going to get at least an eye roll out of you.
It's a funny name slapped on top of a really fucking cool character.
Yeah, I thought it was like, what the fuck else am I going to name him? Some lame ass fantasy shit.
I mean, I don't know. I came with old Teotihuacan.
I like that name too. But like, what if you were like, "Hey, what's up, C4PO?"
Oh God, I hate
it. Hell yeah.
Okay. Anyways,
let's blow this. Fucking joint, C4PO. And he's like, "Yeah, burning hands, fucking make it twice as big."
Yeah.
Whoa. Also, everybody that's in there is fucking good.
Yeah. Sure.
Save them all.
Anything else you want to add about C4PO?
I was gonna make a C3PO joke, and I can't. Let's go to the end of the episode.
All right. Let's get ready for a long rest.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the long rest. We get ready for bed. We think about the nightmares of our fantasy brains just kind of shit stuff out based off of the episode we talked about today. So that's what we'll be doing on non-beholder-centric episodes. We will be building our beholder here on the backside.
Piece by piece.
Piece by piece, eye stock by eye stock, ability by ability, feature by feature.
Mm-hmm,
so far, we have our first eye stock was a Leonin based.
Yeah, Roar Beam.
Roar Beam. And then we have a Petrifying Beam. A main as the...
The main is the feature,
As the feature.
Yeah.
So a Petrifying Beam was next, based off the Basilisk. And we'll have a Spiky Gullet.
A Spiky Gullet.
Which can transform stone to fleshies.
Indeed.
Or whatever it was before.
And what are we adding today from our Sorcerer episode, Brian?
Today we have... we were talking about it. We were going to pick an ability from one sorcerer for the beam and a feature from the other sorcerer for the feature.
Yes.
The physical feature.
Yes.
What did we land on?
We landed
on... Oh, yes.
Yes. You want to do the honors?
Well, they were both your idea, I think.
They were, yeah. So the beam's going to be based off the Clockwork Soul Sorcerer, and it's going to be a math beam of algorithms and bullshit coming out of its eye straight into the brain of its target, which will cause one of the effects of the confusion spell upon the target.
Right. And that was my contribution, was to attribute the confusion spell part, stuff.
Yeah.
And basically it shoots you and you become the confused math white lady meme.
Yeah, exactly. That one. And then
or the one with Link, decided where it's like Triforces and shit.
In place of a beholder's like needle teeth jaw, no longer has that. This beholder now has the beak of a mighty dragon turtle.
Yes. Which I think is very
essentially
cool.
Just a giant turtle beak.
It's a big turtle beak and it's a little rigid.
Yeah, like a little
it's
rigid.
Got, it's got some stuff in there, some extra bitey places.
Exactly.
He's
just ready to turn your stone into flesh.
I like this mass with three tentacles on it so far. It's a fucking lion's mane.
It's developing into quite the beholder.
This is good. We're only a third of the way there.
No, we're not even a third.
Well,
we're like
almost.
We're 3 out of 10 right now.
3 out of 10 ain't bad, baby. What's
indeed.
That Fall Out Boy song? Anyway. Check out our Patreon where you can support us monthly and get really cool bonus content, like a lot of actual and live play adventures that we've taken part, mostly comedy games.
Mm-hmm.
You can see us play 4E in the first installment of Vault Raiders, and you can see me be a bear shark. Now, we've got a lot of stuff. Level 10. $10, that's $5 a month. You get the Dungeon Chats there too, which is like a shoot the shit podcast where we take you behind the scenes or just back into our lives or whatever it is we're going to talk about. Mm. Early episodes, as we record them in batches, once every 3 weeks or so, we record episodes and just upload them there first. So you'll be weeks ahead of your adventuring counterparts for Dungeon Cast materials and lore. Let's see what else we got in there. We got OST from Super Quest Saga at the next level up, $10 a month. You can get other actual play adventures like our Halloween special at that level and Ranger Danger, which is highly notable in the Dungeon Cast community as great games.
Mm-hmm.
FBATS, which is like got its own cult following in Dungeon Cast lore. It's a whole show. There's a whole show in there. Do you want more content of us doing stuff related to Dungeons & Dragons? Check out our Patreon, please.
Indeed.
Exclusive merch you can get at $10, $20. Yep. Thinking about a $50 one right now, like a sweater or something like that. Might as well. But we'll get more on that later, I guess. Vault Raiders 4, it's coming down the pipeline. Check out our merch shop. Man, this is dull.
What? All right. I
it's
guess
just
we're
like
calling
everything after we build the fucking beholder is like nothing to me. This has been so fun. But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. Welcome to the new year. I hope you all are being safe.
Mm-hmm.
Getting your adventure on. We'll catch you next time.
Talk to you guys later.
Bye. Hey everybody, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Will.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons & Dragons, from severe singes to sulking servants. And today we're talking about sorcerer subclasses, the Draconic Bloodline, and the Clockwork Soul. Damn it, I said
The Clockwork Soul.
Fuck, I can't keep that. All right, let's do it again.
I thought you said there were no perverts in this episode, Brian.
The only pervert is me. Okay.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. Wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to Season 1, we are thrilled to announce the launch of Season 2. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you, and let's make Season 2 even more memorable together.